Amos chapter 24 and verse 14, which is on page 1122 in the Church Bible, the Apostle Paul says, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way. When Pastor Tim in his series on 1 Corinthians came to the end of chapter 12 and to the second part of verse 31, and now I will show you the most excellent way, he focused attention for a moment on the word way. And the New Living Translation reads, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Wonderful as spiritual gifts may be, there is a way of life, in the words of the Old Testament, one better by far and the highest of them all. And as Pastor Tim focused on the word way, in that sense, as if I understood him correctly, it was just as if a firework display had started in my head. You know, there's a bang and then there's a show of lights. And a series of verses came to my mind. Verses that over the years have warmed my heart or challenged my thinking. And the first one was that wonderful incident recorded in Genesis 24. Remember, Abraham's servant had been commissioned to seek a wife for Isaac among Abraham's people. And in verse 27 he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And then when he went into the house, he said, the Lord God of Abraham, which had led me in the right way. What a thrilling prospect. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Do you know anything of that? Do you desire it? Then in Isaiah 30 and verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isn't that marvelous? Among all the voices clamoring for our attention in these days, the voice of God, through his word, saying, this is the way, walk in it. And then, and some of you may say, of course, the words read for us in John 14, the words of the Lord Jesus, I am the way. You know the setting. Philip said he didn't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. It was all over in a flash, and my mind was back focused on 1 Corinthians. Honest, Tim. But such was the impact of the word, the way, I knew that I would pursue it. Cruden's Concordance identifies four uses of the word, way. It's taken in a moral sense for conduct. So the psalmist speaks of the way of the righteous. The ways are put for the laws of God. So in Genesis 18 we read, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is just and right. The psalmist is able to confess, I have kept the ways of the Lord. It's always also used for custom, manners, and a way of life, whether that way of life is good or evil. So in Genesis 6, God saw how corrupt the earth had become. For all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. In Jeremiah 10, this is what the Lord says: do not learn the ways of the nations. I think that's a very relevant word for us. When I was first a Christian, either I read or heard this, that through the centuries, either the church has affected the world, or the world has affected the church. And I fear we're in a period of history where the world is impinging on and affecting the church. And the word of God says, do not learn the ways of the nations. The fourth use of the word is the method of salvation, or the doctrine of the gospel. And then as a kind of postscript, in Joshua, to go the way of all the earth means to die, to go to the grave. That's the way all of us are going, without exception, until Jesus returns. And in John 14, Jesus Christ is called the way, because it is by him alone that believers inherit eternal life. What Cruden does not do is to focus directly on the use of the word way, as it is found 6 times in the book of Acts. It is found there with a capital letter, the way. And I propose looking at the way under 3 headings. Persecution of the way. Public awareness of the way. Personal testimony of the way. As we read these references in the book of Acts, we find that the persecution of the way was at 3 levels. And first of all, in Acts chapter 19 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul is at Ephesus. And in verse 8, we read that he entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. The Amplified New Testament puts it like this: some became more and more stubborn, hardened and unbelieving, discrediting and reviling and speaking evil of the way of the Lord before the congregation. Such persecution of Christians of the church began as soon as the gospel was faithfully proclaimed. Do I need to say it is still being persecuted, and that the persecution is growing bolder and more aggressive, not only in other lands, but in our own land? It pervades the media. Later in Ephesus, in chapter 19 and verse 23, we're told there arose a great disturbance. You know the incident, or can read about it. The silversmiths and their devotion to Artemis, or Diana, their goddess, brought them very great profit, and they feared that if the gospel was heard and received, people would not be interested in their silverware. Then, if you read the Christian press, you will know of disturbances in many countries. Disturbances because of the way and against the way. Against the people of the way. against Christians. The disturbances are not only in other lands, they are taking place here in 20th century England, 21st century. A Christian home in Brighton had 13,000 funding by the local council withdrawn because the home refused the instruction to ask its elderly Christian residents about their sexual orientation every 3 months. It was the policy of the home to inquire when residents first came into the home. But most of the residents were either ex-missionaries or Christian workers or elderly Christians who at the end of their life had come into the home for quietness and rest. And the local council were requesting that every 3 months they should be questioned about their sexual orientation. What an unacceptable intrusion. The case was contested and the council backed down. Some of me of you will know of a primary school receptionist in Devon whose 5-year-old daughter was told off for talking about Jesus in class. It was reported in the Daily Telegraph and the woman was facing the sack for seeking support from her church through emailing friends to ask for prayer. A foster mother, after fostering 80 children and being highly commended for her care, was struck off the register because a girl under her care and without her encouragement, if anything, or with her restraint, converted from Islam to Christianity. Said that the social services are trying to force the girl to convert back to Islam against her wish, and that the government may seek to ban conversion to Christianity by children. May be that an outcry against these decisions may cause some of them to be reversed, as was that of the suspension of a nurse for offering to pray for a patient. But I've been reading the March issue of the Evangelicals Now, which comes early. And on page one, there is the article about Brighton. On page two, a BBC commentator, Jeremy Vine, speaks of the fact that expressing his faith on the air is unacceptable. Mentioned about the carer being struck off, and on page five there is an article about Christian leaders and what is happening. Page seven, an article about Sri Lanka, anti-conversion laws being passed. Burma, a clampdown on Christians. Page 9, Burma, close your church or go to prison. Eritrea, Christian deaths mount in prison. China, Christians under pressure again. Page 10, Egypt, a judge tells of his desire to kill Christians. Churches attacked in Central Africa. Page 11, which is a whole page of news from the world in brief, speaks of North Korea as the world's worst persecuting nation. Close second, Saudi Arabia. A close third, Iran. Speaks of a trial in Azerbaijan and of beatings of Christians in Bangladesh. More problems in China and India for those of the way. Page 16, a pastor attacked in India. In Saudi Arabia, Christian convert arrested. There are stages of persecution, not only in remote parts of the world,
But here in our own land, one of the church offices at a church I was visiting recently was obviously burdened about these things and mentioned some of them in prayer before the service. And the elder at the conclusion of the time of prayer said, you know, it's just like an incoming tide of darkness. I don't think he's being alarmist. But he's not burying his head in the sand, and he's not accepting it. In Acts 22 and verses 4 to 5, there was a further stage. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As also the high priest and all the council can testify, I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. And it is still happening to the people of the way, to Christians, to brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only in those countries like China and North Korea and Saudi Arabia that we may know about, but in many, many countries where Islam holds sway and extremists prevail. Thinking about these things brought to mind the comment of a deacon in our first church at Ashton in the 60s. Things were beginning to prosper materially and people were doing well. We were beginning to see the fall off of Sunday schools. And he said, you know, what we really need is a dose of persecution. But at a conference of ministers, the chairman said that may be so, but it must never be self-induced. Some of you will remember when Christians began to come from behind what was known as the Iron Curtain, when people like Richard Verbrand began to tell of his experience in books like Tortured for Christ. When you spoke to these men, they could not understand why we did not have something about persecution in our statements of faith. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. If the world hates you, it's because it hated me before. Someone may feel that they were going too far to say that if you're not being persecuted, you must be compromising. If you're not being persecuted, you're not being faithful in some light. But in the light of the New Testament and what happened to the people of the way, and in the light of their experience in Eastern Europe then, and in many parts of the world now, you can understand, can't you, why they felt that our statements of faith ought to have something about persecution. More briefly, public awareness of the way. So easy for us, isn't it, and for men and women in general to say, I didn't know. Nobody told me. However did ordinary, decent people in Germany allow the Holocaust? How can a religious leader deny that it ever took place? How can children be terribly abused and murdered and officials responsible for caring for them say, I didn't know? How can men deny God and live godless and wicked lives Since according to Romans chapter 1, what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal powers and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Men cannot claim ignorance of the way. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 22, Felix the governor was well aware of, was acquainted with the way. We might say it was his business to know the things under his jurisdiction that caused disturbances. But in his defense, the Apostle Paul proclaimed the gospel before Festus and King Agrippa. He was able to say this in Acts 26. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things. I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. Jesus might have been born in relative obscurity in Bethlehem, but the authorities knew where he was to be born. But there was no obscurity about the place of his death and resurrection. It was a very public death, attended by extraordinary events. The way was known. The people of the way were known. And some of us are old enough to remember talk of the underground church. But I will recall a missionary visitor to Eastern Europe in the days of communist domination saying, such a name was an insult to the believers in Europe. They weren't underground. We know what he meant. They were bold and they were fearless. Their testimony was known. And they were arrested, and they were imprisoned, and they were punished, and they were put to death. The authorities were aware of them, and so were the people. Men may organize secret societies, some to do good, but more perhaps to do evil. But the way is not secret or hidden or underground. There was and there is an awareness of the way. Thirdly, personal testimony to or personal testimony of the way. The Apostle Paul in verse 14 of chapter 24 says, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they, that's Paul's accusers, called a sect. The Amplified New Testament puts it like this: this I confess to you, however, that in accordance with the way of the Lord, which they call an heretical division producing sect, I worship the God of our fathers, still persuaded of the truth and believing and placing full confidence in everything laid down in the law of Moses or written in the prophets, having the same hope in God which these themselves hold, and look for that that there is to be a resurrection both of the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust. I confess that I worship God as a follower of the way. Have you ever made such a confession? Do you truly and worship God according to the way of God in Christ? Listen to the testimony of this man, not only in the book of Acts about the way, but on two other occasions. Writing to his young colleague Timothy in second letter in chapter 1, he says, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am." Because he's proclaiming the gospel clearly and powerfully, he's suffering. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. Do you know that? Do you really know that you can trust him completely? Do you know him whom to know is eternal life? Towards the end of the epistle, he says, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Does that include you? As I prepared for this evening, two hymns that we used to sing in the 90s came to mind. First, by Isaac Watt, begins, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross." Is that true of me? Is it still as true as it was in the 90s? Is it as true of me now as it was when I was in regular pastoral ministry? And the second is attributed to two men, Joseph Grigg and Benjamin Francis. Jesus, "And shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days? Ashamed of Jesus, of my God, who purchased me with his own blood, of him who, to retrieve my loss, despised the shame, endured the cross. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend? No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus? Yes, I know, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no tears to quell, no soul to save. Ashamed of Jesus? My Lord, by all heaven's glorious hosts adored, no! I will make my boast of thee in time and in eternity. Till then, nor is my boasting vain. Till then I boast to save this lane. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me." This morning was set before us so clearly that there is a vital difference between religion and being in Christ. I close with three questions. Are you in the way? That's good. the way? Do you belong to the way? That's better, even if it means disturbance and persecution. Do you personally know the one who says, I am the way? That's best. Shall we sing together?